Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 140. And verse 7. Verse 6. Psalm 140, verse 6. I said to the Lord, "You are my God. Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle." You have covered my head in the day of battle. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. O God, the strength of our salvation, we have come to you once again. You are our keeper, the shade at our right hand, and you are God who covers us. Thank you, Lord God, that you have given us the helmet of salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross. The work that you did on it, O Lord God, by which, Father, my head remains covered. Lord, I thank you. Father, even as we go into your word, my Father, open my eyes, open our eyes to your wondrous workings in our lives and to your plans and your purposes. Father, I pray you will open our eyes in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O Lord God, for all that you have done, Father, till this point of time in this service, O Lord God. Father, very specially, Father, the testimony that we have heard, O Lord God, of your goodness, of your covering over this family. Lord, I pray that it shall be the portion of each one of us as well, in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, Father, we commit our hearts to your word. Your word, which is able to build us up, let it build us in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, take charge, take control. For it's in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we have asked and we have prayed. Amen and amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor once again and welcome him? Welcome him. Hallelujah. I want us to look at a topic that the Lord had laid in my heart concerning from sifting to lifting. From sifting to lifting. And our key text, let's quickly go to Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32. It's there on the screen. We can all read one to go. Simon, Simon, Peter, listen, Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him, which is out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail, and when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. Strengthen and establish your brethren. Now, if we know the context of this passage, this was where the Lord had revealed to the disciples that he is going to be arrested and he's going to the cross. And at that point of time, the disciples said, "We will not leave you. We will even if others forsake, we won't forsake." All those things they were saying. And at that point of time is when the Lord brings this revelation to the disciples. And he says, "I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail." And he was warning that there would be a sifting in their lives. There would be a sifting in their lives. Now, what is the meaning of sifting? If we understand, sifting means shaking. Just like we shake the wheat so that the chaff is separated, a shaking. And here, the Lord was saying, Satan has asked that you may be sifted. And when Satan was asking for sifting to happen, for shaking to happen, the first thing that he wanted in the lives of the disciples was their faith to fail. The first thing that needed to be thrown off the life of a disciple was their faith. Now, we know in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, that we describe our Lord as the author or the forerunner and the perfecter of our salvation. All right? Are we clear about that? If God is the author of our salvation, if God is the author of our faith, how can that be taken off? For that to be taken off, for our faith to be shaken off, it had to be two ways. Either, sister, we can go to the next slide. Either if our faith was misplaced, or the next one, if our conscience was sifted. Now, let's go back to the first slide. If Jesus was not the author of my faith, and if I'm not following a pattern that he has initiated, or if my life is not following the pattern of Christ, then I have a misplaced faith. That is when I have a misplaced faith. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, and I'll read from the NLT. Paul is saying, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than one we preach. Even if we preach a different Jesus. Why could Judas's faith be shaken? Because he had a different idea of the Messiah. And that is why his faith could be shaken off. A misplaced faith is easily shaken off when it is founded on the mistaken identity of the Messiah. If my life is not following the pattern of Christ, when there is a shaking, the first thing that can fall off is my faith. And that shall not be our portion in Jesus' name. The second reason how my faith can fail, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, 19 to 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 19 to 20. Paul is saying, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. And Paul goes on to give examples of two people over there. Verse 20, Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples. I threw them out and handed them over to Satan so that they might learn not to blaspheme God. You see the relation between faith and conscience there. The conscience of a believer, the Holy Spirit circumcises or makes tender yours and my conscience when we come to Christ. That is the place where the Holy Spirit starts impressing his thoughts, impressing his word, and causes us to respond to him. And the moment we start numbing our conscience to the point of rejecting, that's what Paul is talking over there when he says violated conscience. What is a violated conscience? When our conscience is denied. Just as Peter denied Christ, I don't know him.
When conscience gives you promptings, you start muting. You start muting and you say, not now, not now. To the point that you say, no, I don't want to do this. That is when the enemy has an access. Look at Hymenaeus and Alexander. If you follow with me to Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. What happened to Hymenaeus? Sister, can you project that verse? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. It talks that Hymenaeus has left the path of truth. In some versions, it says, strayed away from the path of truth. And then he overthrows the faith of some. You look at that last part of that verse, undermined the faith of some. The result being that Satan had complete access. They came out of the power and keeping of God. They came out of the power and keeping of God. A sifted conscience can shipwreck faith when it strays away from the truth. I repeat it again. A sifted conscience can shipwreck faith when it strays away from the truth. So what are the indicators of a sifted conscience? I think we would be dwelling on one portion today. What are the indicators of sifted conscience? And I will dwell on this aspect, reluctance to prayer. The indicator of a sifted conscience, you will see that in the life of the disciples. Luke chapter 22, verse 40, what happened in the garden? When Jesus was going into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, he told the disciples when he came to the place, look at verse 40, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Now, if you look at the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, he was saying, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Which means to say that there is a spirit, there is the spirit that is ready and eager to seek God. The spirit is ready and eager to seek God, but the flesh is feeble and strengthless. And therefore, the flesh can succumb to temptation. Now remember, it is prayer that can make me strong in the spirit. In prayer, my spirit communes with God. And the enemy first is my own flesh. And unless and until I engage in prayer, I cannot overcome temptation. I cannot overcome temptation. God wants us to be strengthened in the inner man, and he wants the inner man to commune with him. And that's why he said, when he was talking about prayer, the Lord said to the disciples, do not use vain words like the Gentiles do, because the Father already knows what you need. Then we could have asked, then why pray? Why pray? Because you will know what the Father needs when you come with your weaknesses to Him in the place of prayer. It is prayer that makes me strong in the spirit. In prayer, my spirit is in communion with God. Therefore, my conscience becomes cleansed, renewed, and sensitive to the Holy Spirit
in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer. If you look at the early years of John the Baptist and even Jesus, the Bible says the child grew strong in the spirit. And that's the small s. It's not the big Holy Spirit, the big S in our Bibles. It is strong in the inner man. How? Because they used to commune with God. Even before they entered into any form of ministry, even before they did anything else, the first thing they sought was to be strengthened in God through prayer. I want to ask you, how do you view your prayer life today? Are you or am I ticking it off as a ritual that I have just finished? Or is it a place where your spirit communes with God despite all the weaknesses and finds strength and finds direction to live a life that is pleasing to Him? Watch and pray. Conscience is weakened when the temptations are not overcome by growing strong in the Spirit. I repeat that again. Conscience is weakened when the temptations are not overcome by growing strong in the Spirit. Another aspect of reluctance to prayer. Let's look at Luke 22, 45 to 46. Luke 22, 45 to 46. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." He found the disciples, they were heavied. That word sleeping, sorrow, means lupe, a heaviness of heart that brings the person down to resignation. It can cover grief, it can cover distress, it can cover fatigue, to the point that the disciples had just resigned to the situation and they said, "I want some respite, let me just sleep." Today there are situations that we resign to, and the respite that we find is sometimes more than sleep. There are many things that we go to. Some of us go to isolation, some of us go to food, some of us go to screens. Whatever that makes us resigned from praying. This situation has gone all over my head. I cannot control anything. Let me just, like an ostrich putting its head into the ground, to not see anything that is happening around. And the Lord is telling, I don't want you to be resigned to the situation. I want you to rise up and pray. No wonder he sent three of them over there, Peter, James, and John, so that when one is feeble, the other can raise up. How are you and I treating our corporate prayer? What are you doing with your heaviness of heart today? Are you prepared to just resign to it? Or are you asking God, "Lord, I want strength to rise up"? Or are you asking your fellow brother, "Lord, brother, lift me up. I am weak here." That is why God has placed us in a body. God knows each of our weaknesses. That is why God has placed us in a family. God knows that He has given us a suitable helpmeet. How is your family altar? How is our corporate intercession? The Lord is asking this question, not me. Conscience is weakened when heaviness of heart is not overcome by rising up in prayer. Reluctance to prayer. Indicators of sifting. If you are finding it difficult to pray, remember, there is a sifting that is happening. Somebody is asking for you. There is a sifting that is happening, and unless and until you and I rise in the place of prayer, we will not come through as victors. But look at what the Lord did. And that's the beauty of the lifting of God. Hebrews chapter 4, 15 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain and find grace to help in the time of need. We may obtain grace, we may obtain mercy, and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you. It's very interesting to note the prayer of Jesus. If you look at John chapter 17, verse 11, I'll just go on to one aspect of that prayer and then we will stop. John chapter 17, verse 11, and the Lord is in his high priestly prayer, he's saying, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Holy Father, keep through your name. I want to dwell on that word keep. That word keep means that he was entrusting them to the watchful eye of the Father. It means, that word means, to guard from loss or injury by keeping eye upon. To guard from loss or injury by keeping eye upon. In other words, he was saying, my Father, I am entrusting these souls to you. Let your eye be upon them so that they will not be lost. So that they would not be lost. Parents, are we praying this over our children? Leaders, are we praying this over our flock? And here, I want us to look at Psalm 33, verse 18 to 19. Psalm 33, verse 18 to 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. I want us to rise up. Is your soul famished? The eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him to deliver their soul from death. Are you famished in the spirit? You have a longing for God, but you are not able to carry yourself in the place of prayer. You're struggling in the place of prayer. Are you struggling to live a life that is faithful to God? The Lord is asking. And the Lord's eye is upon you. Behold, he who keeps Israel does not sleep nor slumber. The Lord's eye is upon you today. Is there an access that you have allowed for the enemy through your conscience being weakened? I want all eyes closed. I don't want our hands to be lifted up. But I want you to take this solemn moment and lift your hearts up to the Lord. He's the one who sees your heart. Man cannot see your heart, but God can. And God is giving you and me this solemn moment. Where is the place of struggle that you are having, that you are encountering in the place of prayer? What is that struggle? Is it of the flesh, that you are too weak to pray? Today, the Lord wants to deliver you. That is why He has brought you here. In this short time, time is not a limitation for God. Your heart can only limit Him. If you open your mouth and ask Him, how is your prayer? I want to ask you, are you thinking your prayers? Imagine if I was here and I was just keeping my mouth shut and thinking all my thoughts towards you, would you hear anything? Though the Lord knows your thoughts, He wants you to express your thoughts by words. When you come to God, bring your heart to Him and express it in words. The Lord is not looking for fancy language, but the Lord is looking for a sincere heart, so that your conscience can be made pure. Are you struggling with words in the place of prayer? Today, the Lord is setting your tongue loose. Today, the Lord is setting your tongue loose. Is there a heaviness in your heart? Probably it is hurt. Probably it's sorrow, unresolved sorrow. Whatever it is that is making you fatigued in the place of prayer, the Lord wants to set you free. The one who watches over you, He wants to set you free. He has covered your head in the day of battle. Turn all your hearts towards, all your thoughts towards God as you turn your hearts towards Him. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank You for this time that You have given us once again, O God, our Keeper. You said, O Lord God, that the sun shall not smite us by day, which means that no fatigue of the day shall ever be things that will bring us down. And You said, O Lord God, nor shall the moon smite You by night, which means, O Lord God, the heaviness of the night will not take over us. And so, Lord, we have come to You. Because You are our shade at our right hand, strengthen us. Strengthen us. Strengthen us, oh, we need Your strength, oh Lord God. Your eye is upon us to deliver our soul from death. Oh, so Lord, as You have watched over us, deliver us, oh Lord God. Father, that we may grow in our conscience, oh Lord God. Our conscience will grow strong, and Lord God, our faith will grow strong in the name of Jesus. That in the place of prayer, we would be strengthened in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank You, blessed Father, for hearing us once again. We bless You, O Lord God. You are God who hears our supplications and answers us from Your holy hill. So we bless Your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have asked and we have prayed. Amen and amen. Let's share the grace. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
God bless you all.